The history of birth control and abortion is a long one. In the United States, abortion and contraception were legal from colonial times until the late 1800s. Then, state legislatures, pushed by the American Medical Association, began outlawing abortion. And some states adopted and expanded Comstock laws set by the Federal Postal Service to ban the shipping of contraceptives and informational pamphlets. At about the same time these laws were passed, the concept of the right to privacy began to emerge. An associate professor at Black Hills State says the issue of reproductive rights today is not black and white. And she says there is room for discussion and consensus among people with gray area viewpoints. Pam Caravu led a forum on these issues for a primarily female audience earlier this week in Rapid City. Outside the meeting room, on the other side of a window, anti-abortion activists staged a brief protest. SDPB's Victoria Wicks talked with people from both sides.
Pam Caravu says the right to privacy did not start with abortion law.
That idea actually begins in the late 1800s as almost a right to be left alone. And it wasn't even applied to reproductive rights or that kind of thing. It was applied to almost property, the idea that you had the right to not have government intrude. And this whole right to privacy developed more as a Fourth Amendment right first, to keep government out of your house or out of your business.
Caravu says the U.S. Supreme Court stepped in on a number of privacy and personal rights cases, including 1942 Skinner v. Oklahoma.
Can the state have a law that forcibly sterilizes repeat criminals, those kinds of things? And the Supreme Court, again, says no, you can't do those things because procreation is such a fundamental personal right, government should stay out of it.
Caravu says that same principle applied to the famous case Griswold v. Connecticut.
And then we get to the mid-60s, and Connecticut had a law that said a physician couldn't even discuss contraception with a married couple without facing prosecution.
The Supreme Court ruled that Connecticut's ban on birth control violated the marital right to privacy. In 1971, the court extended that right to unmarried people. Those rulings set the stage for 1973's Roe v. Wade, the case that established women's right to safe and legal abortion.
In about 1950, the Pope said what this is going to lead to, contraception, is going to lead to a lot of promiscuity and a lot of abortion, and he was right.
Al Carlson is a leader with Citizens for Life. He stands outside the Dahl Arts Center where the forum is taking place, and he holds a sign about 5 feet tall depicting the mangled remains of a fetus. Carlson says contraception leads people to believe they can safely have sex. But he says the average rate of failure, taking into consideration all contraceptive measures, is about 10%.
So a lot of births occur, I should say, when there's been contraception involved, and then babies are conceived, and so about 10% of all abortions come about from the fact that there was contraception occurred, and still there was a baby conceived.
But just 10%, so 90% come about without contraception.
Yes, right, something okay. Such as that.
Carlson objects specifically to birth control pills.
The pill also will act as a real strong agent and will help to slough the egg out of a conceived ovum out of the ovary. So that's abortion by Russian roulette.
Carlson says Citizens for Life is not religiously affiliated. He says it contains various denominations, although he notes there are many Catholics at this protest. One of them is Shauna Reston, who says she's a member of a parish, and for her, abortion is absolutely a religious issue as well as a moral and personal one. She says she has given much consideration to her views on birth control, and like Al Carlson, she's concerned that the pill allows for fertilization of the egg.
Going back to abortion is death. It's final. There's no option for life again. With birth control, honestly, I didn't really understand a lot about birth control, but I think now we know. First of all, it's really a carcinogen for women. The pill is really not good for women's bodies, And but I also know that it can stop conception, and there can be some, it stops life from happening.
Reston says she has done a lot of reading about contraception.
And I think that that's what's important. You educate yourself about what's out there. What is birth control? How does it affect my body? How does it affect a possible life?
As for legalities, she's more concerned with the spiritual aspects.
I feel that people should look at their lives and look at what is going to benefit all human life. And do I think that my religious beliefs should become law? I guess I would pray that people would open their hearts to being open to life.
For people who have a fundamental disagreement with abortion, certainly that's a principled position. It's one where it's so personal, you really can't tell anybody that they're wrong for believing those things.
Associate Professor Pam Caravu does not question anti-abortion activists' right to believe as they do. And she agrees with Shauna Reston's call for education, although possibly not in the same format.
The fact is that if you look at the most effective ways to reduce abortion in the United States, it's not to make abortion illegal. It's to provide easy access to education, sex education, and contraception.
Caravu does question the motives of those anti-abortion activists who also oppose all forms of contraception.
If they truly wanted to reduce abortion in the United States, we should be able to work together to do that. So I'm wondering, is it really about reducing abortion? Because their position doesn't seem to be rational, if that's the case.
Caravu took part in the forum at the invitation of Planned Parenthood and NARAL, Pro-Choice America. About 24 participants attended, and approximately the same number of protesters gathered outside. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City.